You are listening to the In Her Flow podcast with Gina and Serena. We created this podcast to help you nurture and connect to your flow, whilst also reducing the stigma and shame surrounding periods.
Each week, we will share episodes that explore conversations with female health practitioners, industry expanders, and everyday women. We are so grateful that you're tuning in to today's episode.
So really excited for another episode with you today. And today we have our very own guest, Stacey Folt, the creator of Balance Babes, who's also a naturopath and nutritionist specializing in polycystic ovarian syndrome and endometriosis. Stacey is passionate about helping women balance their hormones and end the suffering that so many women face today. So we're super grateful to have you on the show today, Stacey. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me and allowing me to share what I'm passionate about.
Oh, yes, yeah, you've got a wealth of knowledge and, yeah, we're really excited to spread the word.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so you've just launched your own first book, which is super exciting.
Yes.
It's called Balance Babes, Every Woman's Guide to Hormone Harmony. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, I mean, my book is very much a preach. I'm trying to really change the way women view their bodies, view the healthcare system, view their own personal power, and most importantly, view the way we view our hormones, because our hormones are copping such a big rap for it being the cause of everything going wrong in our body. But at the end of the day, your hormones are just the messenger, and I really want to change that in women so we can take control of our bodies again.
Yeah, I love that. Your hormones are your messenger.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's very
true.
I
mean, if you look up the dictionary, by definition, a hormone is a chemical messenger.
Yeah.
And yet we've really evolved to this way of thinking that it's the hormones that's the problem. And what we need to be focusing on is, well, what's going on behind the scene that's caused the hormone to send the signal that it's sending?
Yeah, what's causing the imbalance?
Yep, absolutely.
Wow. That's so twisted that these days we just kind of mask those signs.
Yes, exactly. And that's
the way.
Yeah, that's the word. You nailed it right there, masking, and that's the problem. Mm-hmm. And obviously we've got, you know, this movement of synthetic hormones that we're using to mask our symptoms. But even in my industry as a naturopath, nutritionist, and all these holistic coaches, we're still masking hormonal symptoms with natural supplements to a large scale. And yes, it's a better alternative, it's safer, it's natural, but sometimes we're still missing the mark massively because we're just not listening to what the body's trying to tell us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost just green allopathy.
Yep. Totally agree.
And everyone's so busy, so it's just like you don't really have that little time during the day.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and no one wants to feel shit, right? Like, let's fix it as soon as possible. Yeah, so I get it completely. But sometimes that rushing disconnects us from our body further, and it only drives the disease deeper, and your body's only going to come back screaming and fighting at a deeper level, you know, down the track, and that's where the suffering begins.
Well, I'm pretty sure Dr. Libby Weaver, she has her own book and the whole thing is called Rushing Women Syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so true.
Yeah. So on point.
Yeah, it's amazing. Oh, that's so exciting. Every woman needs to read that. Should be given out to schools.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think here in Sydney, we're in Sydney, and so many women could definitely really relate to that and probably need a little bit of like a chill reminder.
And it's such a chill reminder. Everyone who reads it always says to me, oh my God, it's just like I'm having a conversation with you. So it's very laid back. There's no real crazy scientific, you know, jargon in there. I mean, I wrote the book so ages of 15-year-olds up could read it and start to really learn it from the process. So it is an easy read. I like to think it's an entertaining read.
Love that. Bring your personality into it a little bit.
Yeah.
Gentle preach.
Yeah, totally. There's no shortness of potty mouth going on in there and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I love that.
Sounds great.
While we're on the topic of hormones, so basically on our podcast, we really want to reduce the stigma and the shame that so often surrounds menstruation. So we do ask all of our guests, how did you feel about your first bleed compared to how you feel you might look at it now?
Oh, yeah, look, complete 180. Hey, I remember the first day, well, the day that I got my period, I remember feeling so much shame. I was embarrassed. And what went through my head was, oh my God, I'm 13, am I too young? Because I was younger than my two older sisters who were both 15 when they first started bleeding. And I thought there was something wrong with me. And it's so disconnected. But I actually thought, am I a slut because I'm bleeding so young? Is it? And that, and it's, and it's so sad because it all was all stemmed from just pure lack of knowledge and understanding, acceptance. You know, we didn't talk about periods in our household necessarily. We didn't not, but we just, it's just a private matter. We just, you don't share it with the world. And I'm a complete overshare at the best of times now. So it's complete opposite. But I remember that moment and just thinking, oh my God, what's wrong with me? I got it so young. There's something wrong with me. I've developed too early. I've hit puberty too early. There's something wrong with me, you know? So whereas now I embrace it, it's such a beautiful gift to have that time out to really go within and explore your body and listen to the body and just rest and shed and connect with nature. It's a completely different scenario.
So is that what you like to do when you have your period, connect with nature?
Oh, look, I always just chill. And so quite often, yes, that does mean going to the beach and having a swim in the ocean. Make, you know, and just being, just slowing down, most importantly. And and you know, I'll do a cacao ceremony, a little ritual practice for myself, and just embrace it, that it's my time of rest, essentially. You know, I believe we should all be allowed a sick day, a period day, at least once a month, where we're having that full on bleed, right?
That's what we think.
Awesome.
I literally had that conversation with a friend the other day, being like, imagine how productive and like amazing women could be in the workforce if we were given like 2 days a month to just be at home and rest, and then we'd just be like so powerful the rest of the time.
Absolutely. Because that's the thing, like and one of the things I'm sure we'll talk about shortly, but the driving force of a lot of hormonal imbalances is our adrenal dysfunction, because we're so adrenally exhausted, no one is actually stopping and resting and regenerating. And you know, we're so out of whack, really, aren't we, when we think about the way we live our lives.
I feel like the nervous system is definitely the base and the ground. If you fix that, I just feel like everything else is going to fall into place.
Totally agree.
I eliminate stress.
Absolutely.
And before we dive into it all, we'd love to hear a little bit more about you and your personal journey with PCOS and diagnosed with commenced menopause when you were 27. Like, it's wild.
Absolutely. Well, look, I was shoved into this direction so I could help other women. So I see everything that I went through, my hormone hell, as a blessing now, because I understand it at such a deep level, and I had to go to the ends of the earth, so to speak, to really understand it and really connect, reconnect with my body so that I knew it. So I know it inside. I feel like it's given me a gift. My hormone hell gave me a gift in the sense that I can now help other women. So yeah, it definitely was a journey. But I mean, for me, I mean, it started at age 13 when I first started bleeding. I would get my period every 14 to 17 days. And I kind of thought that was normal because I didn't speak up about it. But I would bleed through my sheets every 14 days. I would never, you know, it was heavy from the beginning. It was frequent. Later on was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome and went through all those perils of, you know, bursting cysts and the pain, you know, hormonal acne. And then at age 27, I was diagnosed as having started menopause, but in hindsight, I can now see very, very clearly I essentially had adrenal fatigue. So I was experiencing hot flushes. My period stopped. I put on weight. I had depression. My hormones on, you know, at a pathology lab looked like I'd started menopause, but it was just classic full-on adrenal exhaustion. And my body was just trying to get me back into my physical body. And it had to do something drastic for me to pay attention, essentially.
That's wild that menopause, adrenal fatigue was mistaken for menopause. That's crazy. At 27, like, that's unheard of.
But I don't know if it is unheard of. That's the problem, hey. It's more and more common, you know. I see a lot of women who are going through the same journey, and you know, a big part of my process with women is really addressing the physical but looking at the spiritual and emotional elements of the disease as well. And it's always something bigger at play. And like I said, your body actually just wants you to be happy and well. And if you're not, and if you're heading down a path away out of alignment from that, it'll give you a symptom to scream at you and get you back. Like, listen, focus, stop, slow down. And so your symptoms are always your blessing, always, because if we ignore symptoms, eventually we get chronic disease. And so uncomfortable symptoms are pretty much the only thing that will make us stock long enough to make a change.
Yeah, make us pay attention.
Mm. Almost like little guys being like, hey, it's me over here. Yep, like, totally. Give me some attention.
Totally.
And then he gets louder and louder.
It just wants you to love it.
We're just like alcohol, Panadol, Nurofen, yep. The yeah. pill, yep. Like shush, shush, shush,
totally.
Shush.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not good at all.
It's almost like when you're in an argument with someone and you feel like you're not being heard at all. You just start to feel yourself getting louder and louder.
Yeah, totally.
Until someone pays attention.
Yeah. Yeah, I think disconnection from ourselves is one of the major drivers of disease in the world that we live in right now.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can relate to that. But you've been able to overcome all of those symptoms that you had when you were in your 20s, right? Yep.
And it was a complete Incredible. Life overhaul for me. It was because, and this, I guess this was the thing for me, because I was a qualified naturopath, but I wasn't, I guess, necessarily living in alignment. I was living on the Gold Coast, partying like 3 nights a week. I was working full-time, very high achiever, so I was working full-time, plus I was working as a personal trainer. I was getting up and exercising an hour to an hour and a half every day, plus late nights partying. So I was doing it all. You know, the motto was go hard or go home. You know, I'm a high achiever, right? But because I was so knowledgeable on nutrition and naturopathic supplements, I was supplementing away and eating relatively well. So I was able to kind of keep pushing through that adrenal fatigue for longer. Mm-hmm. And that's when the body was like, no, enough's enough. And that went to complete shutdown almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found the same because I have been battling with PCOS. And I found that for me, I mean, I studied nutrition as well. And I was like doing all the things, yeah. everything like, nutrition wise, yeah. I'm exercising to like an adequate level. I was yeah. on point with my supplements and nothing was changing. And it got to a point I started doing kinesiology and NET and a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And I realized that I was so incredibly disconnected from my actual body, and I was like hating on it, and I was like, why aren't you working, like why aren't you doing these things for me, and almost like angry.
Yeah.
And it was such a disconnect, and ever since I've kind of shifted that and turned that around and been like, oh, like body, like you need love,
yeah, love it.
To be actually energetically cared for, everything
so powerful. Kinesiology is yeah. amazing. I love it for that. It's a big yeah. part of the work I do with women for that exact reason. It's the spiritual emotional link to what we're missing at a physical level.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like every like negative self-talk or like thought just creates, you know, more stress in your body at times, and like that can just produce more inflammation.
Yeah.
Oh,
we'll touch on that eventually.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm very guilty of often going off on tangents.
But I guess to get back on tangent, why don't you give us a bit of a definition about what PCO is actually is? So I know it's a bit of a buzzword and we hear it a lot, but I don't think many people actually understand what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the way I look at it, and we all have our different interpretations, but I mean, at a physical level, I believe it's driven by our body's inability to metabolize and process and balance our hormones because of the underlying drivers. And we're looking at colon congestion, liver toxicity, you know, leaky gut, an underlying infection going on the body. And then at an emotional, spiritual level, for me, the common theme I see in a lot of women, it's like this suppressed anger. It's women who are putting everything else and everyone else first, and they're missing out. But, you know, we're putting on the brave face and we're keeping on going. So it's like this deep level of anger that's just listing away, boiling away, bubbling away. Mm-hmm. And it's stagnancy that then develops in our ovaries. And because of this whole estrogen dominance picture, you know, these toxins are like these estrogens are basically getting shuttled out and pulling themselves in our ovaries, which is causing these cysts. And a cyst is formed to protect our organ from the toxicity. So it packages up in a nice little neat package and throws this cyst out of the way. So that toxin's now not circulating your body, but of course it's stuffing up your ovaries. But the clincher is no one needs ovaries for survival and a personal level. Obviously we can't continue the species from a fertility point of view, but your body's always thinking, what do I need to do just to survive and get through the day? And building a baby is not really its priority. So it's going to shuttle off all this toxicity, all this junk, and shut down all that, I guess, energy, life force to our reproductive organs, just so it can keep your heart and your brain and all those other organs functioning.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I feel like as women as well, we store a lot of, I know for me myself, I store a lot of emotion in kind of like that
room space, that area. Pelvic bowl. It's like a bowl. It just catches all that suppressed, unfelt, unaddressed emotion. It just kind of settles down to the bottom of that pelvic bowl and it sits there and it festers away in our womb. Yeah.
I love that you put so much emphasis on the suppressed anger and like emotional side
of it. It's such a huge part.
Because it's, yeah, and I feel like that's in Western medicine, that's really rarely acknowledged. Yeah.
And the problem is the women who have PCOS, they're not necessarily angry people. They're beautiful, kind, loving, amazing women, but they have never felt their anger, their disappointment. And these can be simple things. I'm not talking about these women have necessarily gone through really dramatic, traumatic events or had, you know, abusive childhoods. It's not even about that. It can be as simple as not having a need met and, you know, being a part of a big, busy family and not, you know, you're not getting one-on-one attention or, you know, just tiny little things. But if it's not felt and processed, it just goes into, you know, storage where it causes trouble down the track.
Yeah. And I do think as like women, a lot of us, you know, tend to be on the people pleasing side, and that can kind of sometimes,
absolutely,
you know,
and people pleasing is like robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're taking from yourself, right? You know, like you're giving to someone else at your own expense, and it, you can't help it, but eventually resentment will kick in.
Yeah,
absolutely,
definitely. And how does polycystic ovarian PCOS, how does it differ from polycystic ovaries? Because I know that's a common kind of misinterpretation.
It's really just about you know, I to be honest with you, I think it's total bullshit. There's no real difference because it's all about the amount of symptoms you're explaining or what your blood work results will say and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I'm not about treating. I don't really actually like labeling people. You know, we want to treat the person rather than treating the symptoms anyway. There's no difference in the treatment and how you would treat someone with the syndrome or the disease. It's basically the syndrome. The disease is where they can definitely clinically see cysts on the ovaries and the blood, you know, the testosterone's a certain level and the estrogen's a certain level, and then you may have, you know, the whole blood insulin resistance picture going on that they can measure and test. But if a syndrome can be that you are actually just displaying the symptoms. But at the end of the day, you've got the same stuff going on. You know, it's treatment's still the same. So you don't want to get caught up in the definition difference, I don't believe. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, good to know.
Yeah, really good to know. And I guess, well, on that, not necessarily the symptoms, but what are the typical signs if someone is facing...
Yeah, the most obvious one is going to be changes to your menstrual cycle. For a lot of women, it's an absence of a period, but then, of course, you'll see a lot of women who will still get their period and they won't even know they've got it until they try and fall pregnant and they can't. Or once the disease drives itself deeper into your system, you will then start to get those secondary symptoms like the cystic acne, the weight gain that won't budge. For a lot of women, it's, you know, extra hair growth, you know, fatigue. They're the typical things.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that as well about the biochemical markers, because for me, my periods are perfect. Like, they're excellent periods, super easy. And even getting my blood test with, like, my testosterone, it wasn't high, but then all this hirsutism stuff started happening, and I was like, what is going on? But then if I got with kinesiology, he was like, yeah, you're
yeah, I know. Really and high. This is why I hate everything about blood tests. Like they're so misleading. Mm-hmm. And because the reality is, remember, hormones are chemical messengers. They're going to give you the message as the message needs to be given. So they're going to change from hour to hour. So getting a blood test mm-hmm. done is such an insignificant snapshot of what's actually going on in that body at that moment. And it's so misleading. And if you're a woman who's been suffering and you're feeling crap and your periods are crap and you're awful and you go to a GP and they tell you everything's normal, like what a kick in the guts, right? You don't feel normal. Mm, so yeah. Blood tests, they do more harm than good, I believe, because they send people in the wrong direction. They send us away thinking we're fine when we're not. And yes, there is a little bit more information that can be gathered from your functional pathology, saliva hormones and urine hormones. But at the same time, I still don't massively, I'm not a big advocate for them either, because again, you're just playing at that surface level. Well, let's balance these imbalanced hormones. We're not actually getting to the real root of why the body is out of whack.
Yeah, of course. And you must work with so many women that are
yep.
out of whack. Can you, I mean, off the top of your head, do you know the stats around women that are suffering with
PCOS? It's about 1 in 7 at the moment. Yeah, wow. It is a lot. That's yeah. A lot. And I would say it would be more than that though. Yeah, that's, you know.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is that like in Australia or around
the world? I think it's a universal thing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And besides, yeah, for people who don't know, besides sort of fertility issues down the track, what are the repercussions to women's health if it's not
It's a big issue. Like, oh, shit, I was literally working with, I had a client this morning, and a beautiful girl who 24, and she got to age 17 and had never had a period. So her mum thought, you know, that's a bit wrong, what's going on. So her mum took her to a doctor who referred her to a gynecologist. And the gynecologist did the investigations, did scans on the ovaries, found the cyst and went, oh, yep, you've got PCOS, and put her straight on the pill, which then, I know, right, how devastating is this story. She then started having fake periods, and she's now come to me at age 24, stopped the pill 2 years ago because she started getting severe anxiety, weight gain, all that sort of stuff. And she stopped the pill 2 years ago, hasn't had a period. So she's never, ever, ever had a natural period. So that dysfunction that was going on in the beginning has just been compounded dramatically by, like, you know, 5 years of using a very toxic, horrible, horrible pill that's just screwed around the liver, which is now why she can't lose weight, which is now why she's got cystic acne. But it's, you know, yeah. She's desperate. She's like, I need to fix the acne. I'm thinking about going back on the pill. And it's just such a horrible place for people to be. Now, we need to retrain her brain from the HPA axis, teach it how to actually have a period. So there's a lot of the physical work is actually the easy part. We switch the diet, we give the herbs we need, but it's what's going on at a subconscious level emotionally. Why is her body, why is she rejecting womanhood? Why is she rejecting fertility? Why is she subconsciously afraid?
Yeah.
And we need to dig a lot deeper. Now there may be, like I said, I've only had one session with her. There may be trauma, childhood trauma. There could be sexual abuse stuff there. There could be, you know, past life stuff going on. There could be lots of different stuff, but it's sort of like, it's just, to me, it's so criminal that our mainstream medical approach is to put someone on a pill who hasn't had an authentic period on their own. It just breaks my heart.
Well, it's not wholesome as well. It's not being supportive. And I think we can all agree that society is very much like that across many facets. But yeah, it's so sad. And I feel like also then she never
really gets and hurt. So to answer your original question about the long-term consequences, I mean, I believe every single thing can be healed. So of course, if she does the work and, you know, keeps on the path of healed, she will be fine. But the issue is infertility, it's skyrocketing. And that will be the biggest worry. My biggest concern for her will be is that her body doesn't know how to have a cycle. But, you know, don't worry, because we have IVF, right? That's what I was told at age 27. You know, don't worry, there's IVF. We can, you know, I'm like, well, you know, and nothing against IVF. It's a beautiful practice and process for women who have explored everything and need to go down that road. But it shouldn't be the normal. Our bodies were designed to be able to conceive, to be fertile. There's, you know, like, yeah, there's so much more to it than it, just a physical imbalance. It's the spiritual, emotional elements. And that's what, you know, I feel like is the missing link with these reproductive disorders.
Yeah. Of course.
Definitely. I have a friend who struggles with endometriosis, and she gets so upset when she goes through a stage of not getting her period because she just feels like she's not in tune with her mind and body, and it's just she just feels like there's something missing. Whereas there's some other women who just feel the opposite, like they're just
it's sad, isn't it?
With their period and reject it. Yeah, it's just so
there's such a huge movement of, you know, women hating the period, and you get it if they're suffering each month, but it's not your body's not trying to punish you by being in pain. Your body's screaming, pleading for help, you know. And if we could change the way we look at it and start embracing our body and giving it what it needs rather than being angry at it all the time, it just would make such a difference in women's healing journeys.
It makes my heart hurt when women I hate my period.
Me too. And women who use the pill to skip it month in, month out, it's so, it's just like, I like, my heart skips a beat when I hear that.
Well, you can have the rod. Is it the rod that you can have and you don't have your period years at a time? Yeah, it's wild. Like, I wonder how it feels to get your period back once you get off that.
Yeah, well, for a lot of them it's painful, so they start the cycle again because they haven't done anything to address the original issue.
Yeah, it just comes back and bites you in the butt like a thousand times harder.
It is. It's a
vicious cycle. So I guess just to go back a little bit more, you did mention that you don't use bloods to diagnose someone with PCOS. So what kind of is that diagnostic criteria? How can someone start checking if they if they struggle?
Oh, well, look, you know, in all honesty, most women come to me once they've already had a diagnosis of PCOS, so I don't technically diagnose people. If women come to me with symptoms, I'll never give them a diagnosis. We'll talk about, you know, your body's out of balance. Your body's communicating with you. We're going to treat the symptoms. I don't think we ever need to label anyone because it's too easy to get attached to that identity and then, you know, go and do the Google and read the statistics and read the poor outcomes. And then we become attached to that. And I don't like doing that. But, you know, if you do suspect, you know, obviously my advice, if you suspect you have anything going on with your cycle, go see a naturopath straight up. But most people will, their first protocol will be a GP. And so, you know, having a scan is a far better accurate way to diagnose versus a blood test, a scan which will clearly highlight cysts on the ovaries and those sort of things. So don't get me wrong, you know, our diagnostic tools through the medical industry is what they're great at. You know, they are good at investigation. I just wouldn't necessarily follow their treatment protocols.
Yeah, definitely. Can lead down a totally bad rabbit hole. For sure.
Why do you think that PCOS just is one, but all of these hormonal imbalances are becoming more prevalent? Okay.
There's so many things, and it's a big one. Obviously, the industrialization, the mass amount of chemicals that we're exposed to on a day-to-day basis, you know, the overuse of plastics, so these xenoestrogens, they're ending up in our waterways and we're drinking them. They're in our food, we're eating them. They're in our beauty care products. So we're just being slapped in the face with them all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And these have endocrine disrupting factors on our body. So what's happened is our bodies are so, as a general rule, most women are so over flooded with what we call estrogen dominance. And it's estrogen that we're accumulating from our environment and those sources I've just said, as opposed to our ovaries producing too much. I would say the average woman is not producing enough estrogen because we have all this fake estrogen in our system. The body goes, well, I'm going to try my hardest to keep you in balance, and you've got all this extra stuff, so I'll just shut down my natural production of estrogen. So it's an environmental issue. Absolutely. It's environmental. And from a spiritual, emotional point of view, it's women, I believe, and don't get me wrong, you know, I'm all for girl power. You know, I was a single mum for a very long time. I have my own business. I'm an independent woman. But this need for women to compete with men is throwing us out of our feminine. And that's massively causing these reproductive products because we're so in our masculine. It's, you know, rush, 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 go, 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 competing, you know, trying to do so much more, adding a million one things to our to-do list, really priding our self-worth on being successful and achieving. And we're not doing the soft, central, slowing, connecting, beautiful, feminine things that we were actually put on this earth for. I mean, I love men, they're beautiful creatures. I love women. We should not be competing with one another. We were designed to complement one another, and yet we've got this whole competitive thing going on, and it's pushing women away mm-hmm. from their natural divine flow and into this masculine energy that's really screwing with our hormones.
Yeah, I feel like we've just gone so far, you know, becoming more and more yep. equal and trying to yep. prove ourselves to everyone that we, yeah, yeah. we can.
I don't get it. Why? Women are perfect because we are softer and weaker. It's a vulnerability is a strength. Why do we have to move away from that? You know, I don't get it.
Totally, yeah.
I feel like if a lot more women felt into that as well, it would just change so much, because so many women yep. are operating out of their masculine. And yep. I know I did for years, and I was like, be yep. busy all the time, work as hard as you can.
Yep.
Like, don't stop, yep. just go, go, go. And it did nothing good for me except for
absolutely. And at the end of the day, I mean, it's exhausting trying to be someone you're not. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to yeah. prove ourselves, and it just, we weren't meant to. Well, you know, men are hunters, women are gatherers. Like yeah. it's just it's you know yeah. genetic predisposition, like it's just it is what we is, like don't try and change it.
Yeah. It is tricky though, because I feel like gradually society is becoming structured more yeah. and more towards this 24-hour yep. testosterone cycle. Whereas where is the consideration for us on our yeah. you know 28 yep. day cycle? Totally.
100%. And at work, like, I feel like, you know, being emotional is like really, yep. really, really disregarded yep. and really looked down upon. So I feel like it's hard to 100% feel like you are able to be open and honest and lead a little bit more with your absolutely. Emotion and intuition.
There's no doubt about and, like, it. What you're saying is exactly right. But, you know, we can't change the world like that, but we can make a difference in our own personal life. And it's about being brave to be vulnerable, because a woman in her true authentic vulnerability has the ability to leave a massive impact on a man. She can energetically influence absolutely. And inspire him to be that beautiful masculine energy to hold her and support her. So we've got to push through our limiting beliefs that it's not okay to be a woman in the workplace, and it's not okay to talk about periods, and it's not okay to be weak. Well, actually, we have to push through those societal conditions and just be our beautiful feminine really? Selves. And the more women who do it, it'll have a chain reaction. It really will. And that's how we heal the men
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, creating yeah. that balance again.
Mm-hmm.
All about it.
I love that so yeah. much. It just gave me goosebumps.
I know, we just looked at each other and smiled.
Yeah. Like, just give yourself so permission to be a woman who feels, a woman, it's okay to be emotional. It's especially mm-hmm. okay to speak about your emotions and trust that you will be held and you will be supported. Mm-hmm. And vulnerability, right? It's yeah. just it's beauty, you know. If you haven't already, you know, Brené Brown, who talks massively about vulnerability. It's the most, yeah, it's incredible. It's such a gift.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, it's a good reminder for us all, I think.
Yeah. And I know you've already have sort of touched on a little bit about the metaphysical causes of PCOS. You've got your spiritual and your emotional, things like that. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that's sort of contributing to all these hormone imbalances,
yeah.
imbalances and
PCOS? Yeah, absolutely. Endo so and it's like we started chatting about it earlier. Like, so I believe that the pelvic cavity serves as almost a bowl, and every emotion, every feeling we feel carries a vibration with it, and vibration affects our cells. So if you're mm-hmm. carrying around shame, guilt, anger, you know, all of the things, and they're in your body and they're vibrating and they're basically disrupting that natural vibration of your cells. So they're energetically changing the structure of our cells and our cells' ability to do what our cells are meant to do. So that this is how at a physical level disease starts. So, you know, just believe the whole point of life and the whole point of it is just to be in your highest vibration of joy and acceptance and love all day, every day. And that's how, when we're in our light like that, when our vibration is high, we attract more love and light and health and abundance into our world. So this is why stress, you know, and everyone talks about it as a big blanket term, stress is, causes everything. Well, the reason stress causes disease is because of the emotions that comes with stress, you know, the shame, the guilt, the worry, the anxiousness, all that sort of stuff. It's causing disease at a physical level because of that, those low density vibrations that's messing up the natural communication from ourselves.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I actually read the other day that the electromagnetic vibration of your heart radiates to
4.5 meters
away from the body. Yeah.
And you know, we all said that, well, no one ever died of a broken heart. Well, I disagree. You know, and broken hearts aren't just from you know, relationship loss and grief. A broken heart to me is when you're not stepping into your power and following your dreams and living a life that inspires you and that fills your cup up every day. When you're just doing things out of obligation because, oh, well, I need to pay the bills and I should do this and I should do that. Like, you know, get rid of the word should in your vocabulary and just, follow your dreams. That's how we heal.
The devil.
Absolutely.
I agree. And to go kind of back a little bit about PCOS, what are the common misconceptions and myths that surround it? You know, as we said, there are some misconceptions about, you know, the diagnosis.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one of the big ones that I always come across that a lot of women are talking about and a lot of other PCOS coaches are always posting about is insulin resistance being a cause of PCOS. Mm-hmm. And I'd completely disagree. Insulin resistance occurs in women with PCOS, but it's not driving the PCOS. So you've got to treat the reason why we've got the insulin resistance in the first place. And so, you know, all these drugs like metformin and stuff like that, they're wasting the time. They're actually causing more burden on the liver, and it's the liver dysfunction, which is why we can't balance our hormones and clear out the bad estrogen in the first place. So for me, it's like it's going back to the root cause. And this is what my book's essentially about. I've got the Balanced Babe Signature 7-Step Hormone Healing System in there, and that's the 7 key things which drive disease. And obviously their book's geared towards, you know, endometriosis and PCOS, but it plays out with every disease, in my opinion. And so don't get caught up in treating the acne or treating the insulin resistance or treating the weight. It's kind of like, well, what's underneath it all? And I believe it's stress, the adrenal dysfunction and that nervous system issue that you guys chatted about. Secondly, it's the colon congestion, which I'm a big, I talk about colons all the time because in our colon, we store 80% of our beneficial bacteria, and the beneficial bacteria plays such a pivotal role in recycling and metabolizing our hormones. So you are supposed to produce, like your glands will produce a hormone, and then they're supposed to basically get, you know, metabolized and leave the body essentially, recycled, metabolized. But the problem is they're all hanging around being stored, and this is what's causing the imbalance. Them not getting in and doing their job and then disappearing. They're building up in our system. And so most of us don't have very good gut health. Yeah. Most of us are really full of what we call dysbiotic flora, bad bacterial overgrowth. And so good bacteria can't thrive. And so we're bloated and we're gassy and we've got acne. And it's all stemming from that colon being so congested. And if we can get in and clear that colon out and then reset the gut microbiome, that'll play a huge pivotal role in addressing a lot of the symptoms we're getting with PCOS.
Well, then, I mean, you've also got liver overload. And if the estrogen's not getting, you know, excreted the way it should, it's just being translocated back into your gut.
It's feeding the bad bacteria.
It's like a circle, totally. A chain of events.
And that's something, like, there's a lot of people go and put themselves on liver detoxes, which is a complete and utter waste of time if you don't cleanse your colon first. So think of the colon like the rubbish bin of the body. And so if you don't empty the trash first, you're basically trying to wash your body with dirty water. You've got to, you know, think of a fish tank. If you want to clean the fish tank, you can't just come along and pour clean water in it. You've got to scrub the sides of that fish tank. You've got to get the filter out and scrub it. And that's what cleaning the colon is first, so that then the liver, aka the filter, can then clean itself up.
Yeah, totally.
And are you a fan of doing that in terms of
massively
colon cleansers and colonics? or are you more so?
No, all of the above. I think you can do. I'm a massive fan. So non-negotiable part of treatment with me is doing a colon cleanse, and that involves a 3-day juice fast, taking a colon cleanse powder, doing enemas, going off and seeing a colonic hydrotherapist if you have access to doing that, and then obviously just eating, you know, a healthy high fiber diet ongoing to maintain it, and doing enemas ongoing to maintain it, because like I said, it's that you've got to keep the rubbish bin empty of your body, or you're just going to be polluting, and the bowel's going to permeate the wall, right? So if it's full of rubbish, your whole body is being polluted and poisoned constantly. And that's why we then get toxins being pushed out our skin, causing the cystic acne, because our rubbish bin's full. You know, our colon's congested. Yep.
Totally. Yeah, it's acting out.
Yeah, it's frustrating that it's just commonly not dealt with from the root. Yep. It's like people.
I mean, look at the number one treatment for cystic acne, Roaccutane, which just, you know, poisons the liver tenfold. It may suppress the acne temporarily, but it's just driving it into your organs deeper. So it's got to come out again eventually, and it's just really sad. But you know, treating these things is actually relatively quick and easy. But it's just getting the awareness out there. And again, that's why I'm so appreciative of you guys having me on here with your show, because the more we speak about it, the more people can start to join the dots and make connections and make better decisions for themselves.
Of course, and also making it seem achievable and realistic, and it's not overly expensive, and you're not spending all this money on medication and making yourself feel even worse. Mm. But just, I think a lot of people are. I know you said in the beginning how you had to do a complete life kind of overhaul, and I think a lot of people are scared to actually have to make the change because that takes.
And I love that you brought that up, honey, because my business is balanced babes, because I love a wine as much as anyone else. You know, like, I'm all about balance, you know, and this is why I teach women the self-care rituals. You know, I do enemas 5 days a week. You know, I do a juice fast 4 times a year, but for 3 days at a time max, you know, and in between I'm eating chocolate if I feel like it, and I'm, you know, having wine with my girlfriends, and I'm living a normal balanced life. But, you know, when you talk about me having to do the complete overhaul, like, I was at, you know, debilitating depression, chronic fatigue, couldn't get off the couch. You know, like, I was at the absolute worst place I could have got. And so I had no choice but to, I had to move away from the Gold Coast. I had to quit my job. I had to do these massive overthings, because that's what was then was what called for me. But if we can, you can make much lesser level of intervention if you listen to the symptoms earlier on. I ignored them for too long. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Which I think, taking it's that so whole doable. Balanced approach so just makes it so feasible and doable. Yeah.
You're not missing out on life.
Yeah. And especially for, like, our main audience, you know, in their 20s. And I don't think, I mean, me and Gina can both agree that I don't think we're going to just quit alcohol and quit having late nights every now and then.
Yep. And like, I love it. And that's why I've infused, I guess, the spiritual, emotional elements into the healing work as well, because, you know, if you look at it as spirit, like that vibrational level, going and having a few glasses of wine or even a big night out till 5 a.m. with your girlfriends and you're laughing all night and dancing, that's good for the soul. Do you know what I mean? And you can clean that up the next morning. Yeah, you get up and do an enema and have some green juice and have a rest and have a sleep. You can repair, right? A body. But you know what? We're humans. We were given the sensations of touch, taste, smell, love, all these things. We're supposed to have fun. Like, health doesn't have to be a prison sentence. And high five to all those amazing people who live the cleanest possible lives. But that's never, ever going to be me. And I'm the healthiest I've ever been. And I still enjoy alcohol, and I still eat cake on my, you know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to go without. If you learn self-care practices that you can do throughout the week as well. And I always say to people, imagine your day, like, say you wake up every morning with $100 in your pocket. And every time you smoke a cigarette, have a glass of wine, eat a burger, you're robbing dollars from your bank. But you can put the dollars back in by then, having a cold pressed juice as well, getting out in fresh air, grounding with nature, having a soulful conversation with someone you love. That's going to put the money back in. And you've just got to go to bed every night with as close to $100 in your pocket as possible, and that's how you maintain health. The problem is most people just do the self-sabotaging, again, guilty things to their body and don't then clean it up with the good things.
Yeah. There's this beautiful nutritionist I know, and she was saying how she had a client who had a cookie every afternoon, and she was like, people keep telling me I need to give up the cookie. It's not good for me. And her question to her was like, do you enjoy it? She was like, I love it. It's a minute for me to sit outside and have a tea.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, why would you give it up then? And for me, I feel like if you're eating, I don't know, if having that cookie in the afternoon brings you so much joy and happiness, then why would you make someone stress so much about not having it? Which is going to bring, energetically as well.
Yeah. I believe that joy and feeling good will trump anything physical negative that you can do to your body. So I don't even, you can sit there and have a glass of wine every night of the week, but if you're feeling joy and excitement and love while you're doing it, that vibration will trump the physical effects on your body. I truly believe that. And it's all about the intention. The intention you set to the things that you do.
Of course.
Yeah, I love that, because I feel like, personally, when I can see myself getting really strict with my diet, I actually feel kind of flat emotionally sometimes, because I just feel like I'm just depriving myself of joy all the time.
No, and restriction will never ever work. It's about, and when I work with people with their diet, I always say, all right, we're going to focus on the really cool things you're putting in your body rather than the things that you can't have. Like, it's just, it'll never work. Humans are... we were put on this earth to feel, and it's a point of life, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Of course. I know you've touched on it with a few little things like diet and lifestyle, but what are the common treatment methods that you're using with your clients?
So I'll put them through the Balance Babe 7-step hormone healing system. So the first step is we need to balance the adrenals. We need to do a lot of processes on the adrenals, and that can be using herbal medicines to get them to revive their adrenals, but also looking at changing their attitude to, I have to be busy, I have to do more, I don't set boundaries, I want to be everything for everyone else. So we work on those things. The second step is the colon cleanse, so the 3-day juice fast. The third step is addressing the underlying infection that I find women always have. So it'll be potentially that dysbiotic flora in the gut. There may be an underlying virus going on, underlying infection in the body, which most people have some kind of a viral thing going on, or like dysbiotic flora in the gut. That's going to keep your body in a state of panic, because your immune system is going to be working its guts up to try and get on top of it, but it's a resistant infection that you can't get on top of. So your adrenals are going to be in that, that really go protection mode. I'm trying to save myself. The fourth step is about healing the gut, restoring your digestive secretions properly. The fifth step is about then the liver detox. The sixth step is then about nailing nutrition. So that is going to be different from person to person. Now, I'm very, very pro a plant-based lifestyle. Doesn't mean you cannot consume animal proteins here and there, but for the most part, in that first 3-month period, we want to remove them just so we can cleanse and detox. And then you'd eat, your animal proteins as a treat here and there, but they don't become a staple in your diet, because the animal proteins just feed the congestion that's going on within those cysts, especially dairy and eggs. And then the final step is that what I call the Balance Babes emotional evolution, and that's where we're doing the kinesiology to really identify what your body is trying to show you at an energetic, emotional level, what those cysts are representing, what that excess hair is representing, what that weight gain is representing. Yeah, so through all that, dietary stuff, so it's herbal medicine, it's kinesiology practices, and it's lifestyle process. So I'm training them the whole way in how to do enemas at home, what's the right type of exercise for you, teach them how to do cacao, sacred cacao rituals, yoni steam rituals, these spiritual elements that we can infuse into your lifestyle as well. So that, I'm a big believer in empowerment and education. So I don't want you to have to rely on me for the rest of my life. I'm going to show you how to do it. Then you can go off and do it, and you don't need me. It's empowering you to take care of yourself.
Just long-term success.
Yeah, it's a proper treatment plan. Yeah, it's amazing. And I guess on that note as well, you know, a lot of women can feel like there's no end in hope, and you've definitely proven that there is. But can you share some of those transformations and progressions?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, I was told that I would never conceive naturally. And when I was diagnosed with menopause, I was also given a referral to an endocrinologist, IVF specialist, because they were just like, yeah, not going to happen. Hey, off you go quickly, 27 year old time. And so, you know, I have a child, I conceived naturally. And yeah, so like, I mean, the biggest thing I want to say is like, don't ever let anyone else tell you anything about your body. Human spirit will overcome everything. If you want to heal and you're willing to go a bit deeper and do the work, and the work doesn't always have to be hard. It can be fun, especially if you work with me. I'll have you doing all sorts of crazy stuff that we're laughing about, and people messaging me while they're laying on the bathroom floor doing their first enema, laughing, saying, what are you doing? You know? It you just gotta, we find we find ways to make it fun, you know. And like I said, just don't give up on your body, because don't see your disease, you know, if we're gonna call it, you know, PCOS as a failure. Sometimes it's the perfect enlightenment that you're needing. Just your body's just wanting you to change direction a little bit, you know. Sometimes it's a part of a bigger plan for you, like maybe it's part of a overall career change or relationship change, or steering you away from toxic stuff that you needing. And sometimes the only way to get your attention is through suffering. So just listen sooner rather than later, and you will suffer for a less amount of time. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great advice.
Yeah. Incredible advice. Yeah. I love all of that.
I know, you've given us so much to think about.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I love that. I love that there's more and more women who are resonating with this message, you know, and are starting to question the whole, well, I'll just take a pill, you know, the oral contraceptive pill to suppress my hormone imbalance. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And so many women are starting to realize that. And it really breaks my heart when women learn the hard way that they've been on that road for so many years, and they realize that it's getting them nowhere, and they've wasted so many years, robbed them of their vitality.
Yeah. Well, the conversations are being had, and people like you, and hopefully this podcast is just making people think about it,
making it more accessible. And I think there's also just like, there's been so many stories coming out about, you know, proving the doctors wrong, that they can't conceive, and those kind of things. So people are just getting more curious, not really believing
which is beautiful, everything that
they've been told by a professional. Yeah It's very empowering.
Exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
Super exciting. And for those who want to learn more about you and all the magnificent
I'm pretty active. I'm like track. Where can they find you? Instagram, StacyFote_balancebabes. My website, balancebabes.com.au. I also have a Facebook group, which you can, you know, search the usual things, Balance Babes. And it's just a free group for women to ask questions. And I do a lot of videos and stuff like that in there. Obviously, you can check out my book, is a great first step, which is available on the website. It's also available on Amazon and places like that. And balance best. So in that, you've got, you know, obviously my philosophy on how we should be viewing our body and, you know, the messengers, but then it's got the 7-step hormone healing system. So you can put yourself through that, on those 7 steps, how to do the colon cleanse and, you know, addressing your adrenals and all those steps in there, which is cool. And lots of other free resources on my website as well.
Beautiful.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. You make it so tangible.
Amazing. Yeah, it's very exciting. Well, I'll
put it in the show notes so everyone can easily access that information as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much for jumping on and giving us all of this incredible,
super incredible.
Yeah, super balanced and holistic and like really nurturing information. That I think
you're so welcome again. Like, thanks for being the platform to be a voice for women.
Thank you for joining us in this week's episode on the In Her Flow podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review if you loved this podcast episode.
Even better, share it with a friend or family member who could benefit from this information. Our mission is to normalize period talk and help women to tune in with their cyclical bodies.
See you next week.